Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to the virtual meditation hall. I hope you slept as well as possible. We are here to start another day of practice together. And this morning, I would like to talk about thoughts and mind states and emotions a little bit more, how to practice with them. So I'm first going to talk a little bit, then I'll offer you a guided meditation, and at the end of this session, we'll have some time for your comments and questions. And let's start with thoughts. So, as we have said, it's possible to be mindful of anything and everything, including thoughts and thinking. So, in theory, it's completely possible to be mindful and think, mindful of thinking. So, thinking doesn't prevent necessarily mindfulness. And let's actually try this out for just a moment. So closing your eyes for just a moment, and you could try consciously and deliberately thinking something, like thinking a thought that's maybe kind of simple and short, and trying to be mindful while you're thinking your thought. If you're ready, opening the eyes again, and I would be very curious to see how many of you were able to stay mindful while you were thinking your thoughts. So please raise your hand if you managed to stay mindful. Okay, I see quite a few hands here. So as we see, it is definitely possible to be mindful of thinking. But of course, this situation here was quite artificial. So in a more natural setting, when there are many thoughts and quick thoughts, it's so much more difficult than this. So if the mindfulness happens to be quite strong and stable, it is possible to become mindful of lots of thinking going on, lots of complicated thinking going on. But what mostly happens is that we get pulled in the thoughts and kind of start thinking the thoughts, kind of like sink in the thoughts, kind of within the thoughts, and forget all about mindfulness while we are actually thinking the thoughts. And at some point, if we become mindful of thinking, what quite often happens is that the thinking disappears with the mindfulness. Or another thing that's quite common is that when we have been thinking and become mindful, the thinking has stopped just a moment before. So we kind of become mindful, but we become aware just a moment after the thinking has stopped. And all of this is quite natural and normal and nothing to worry about. So really just again to remember that we are not here to achieve any kind of a special state, any specific state such as having lots of thoughts and being mindful of those. It's okay if it doesn't happen to you. It's like there's always something else to be mindful of. The mindfulness was the key and not the experience. And I wanted to mention this common misconception about meditation that some people have when they are rather new to meditation. And it's that we should somehow get rid of our thoughts when we meditate. And then we would have a successful meditation session. But that's really not true at all, at least in Vipassana meditation. So really, we are here to be mindful of whatever is there naturally, including thoughts. So sometimes there might be a lot of thoughts. Sometimes there could be like a medium amount of thoughts. Sometimes there could be little, just little thoughts. And it's going to be changing all the time, most likely. So just like being, trying to be mindful of whatever is there naturally. It might be helpful to think about the thoughts as kind of a radio in the background. Like if there was a radio behind you that was, and your thoughts were coming from that radio. So there could be different programs on. There could be like some music on, or there could be like a very serious chat show on, or funny chat show, or some sort of a drama happening. But if it's just a radio in the background, you don't need to take it that seriously. And it's not a problem. It's just something, one aspect of your experience, one aspect of the bigger field of your experience. The radio can do its thing. You don't need to turn it off. A potential problem with thoughts is that we get engrossed in them so easily. British teacher Chris Cullen has used this image of a bus and a bus stop. It's like we are standing at a bus stop and we see a bus arrive. Bus would be like a thought in this case. So we see this thought bus arrive and stop in front of us, and we might get in the bus and start thinking the thought, and 10 minutes later we might get off the bus, remembering mindfulness at that point. But we might have landed, like, first of all, we have been unmindful for 10 minutes, and it might be the case that we have landed in the land of anger or depression or anxiety. These thought buses often go to quite unpleasant places for some reason. Now, you know, thoughts can take us to all sorts of disaster scenarios, which will probably never actually happen. Like, you know, it might be, I don't think it's very uncommon to experience all kinds of like physical sensations when you start paying attention to the body, start experiencing all kinds of physical sensations that you might not have experienced before, and then start thinking that, oh, I wonder if this is a symptom of some serious illness that might not be curable. So thoughts can create all kinds of scenarios when actually what's happening is that we are sitting in a room and nothing's going on and everything is just fine. There's this well-known saying by Mark Twain, who said that the worst things in my life never happened. So you could think of being mindful of thoughts as kind of standing on that bus stop and seeing the bus arrive, seeing the thought arrive, but deciding not to board on that bus, letting the bus just go and staying on the bus stop. And that mental noting that we have mentioned can be so helpful with all this, not getting too engrossed or not too identified with the thinking and being mindful of the thinking. So you could do mental noting with the thoughts, kind of like labeling the category of the thought, like remembering or daydreaming or planning or ruminating or analyzing or judging or doubting. Our second topic for this morning was that of mind states, which is in the realm of the third Satipatthana. Greg talked about the first Satipatthana, the body, and the second Satipatthana, the feeling tone, Vedana. In Finnish, it's aistimuksen sävy. And the third Satipatthana, would that be of the mind states, the third establishment of mindfulness? And Greg described mind states as kind of the weather in the mind. So you could ask yourself, what is the weather in the mind like right now? Is it like November weather or July weather? Is it sunny or is it cloudy or is it humid or is it dry or is it chilly? Another way to describe mind states is kind of the landscape of the mind. So if you were traveling around the world and walking around the world, you'd encounter different landscapes. Like you might see a strawberry field or a wheat field or a flower field or a corn field or maybe like lush green lawn or yellow dried up lawn, or you could see a swamp or desert or mountains or lakes. So kind of mind states might feel kind of like that. So one example of mind states is the category of emotions, basic emotions such as joy and sadness and irritation and fear and happiness and love and gratitude, compassion. But there's much more to mind states than just basic emotions. Of course, the line here is hazy, like what is emotion and what is not. But other examples of mind states include, for instance, could be spacious or contracted, could be interested or bored, could be energetic or sleepy, could be dull or sensitive, could be greedy or aversive. Just let's try this for just a moment, closing your eyes for a moment and sensing into the mind. What is the weather or the landscape of the mind like right now? What does it feel like? And if you wanted to name that mind state, what is the word that first comes up in the mind? Sometimes it might feel that there are two or three mind states there simultaneously, so you might want to come up with two or three different words. When you feel ready, opening the eyes. And just a couple of points about what we just did. If you decide to do mental noting to label your mind states or thoughts for that matter, you don't need to have the perfect word. The perfect word doesn't even exist. it would be impossible to come up with a perfect description for a mind state, something as complicated as that. So any word that comes up for, like the first thing that comes up for you is usually quite okay. I mean, the word is not the main thing, but actually feeling the mind state is another thing. And oftentimes there is a physical component to a mind state. We could talk about sleepy mind state, but we might feel the sleepiness all over the body. Like I would often feel the sleepiness in my face and my arms and the backs of my hands. Or if we are experiencing sadness, it's an example of a mind state, but we might experience it many different places in the body as well. And it's really helpful if you're able to be aware of your mind state, because mind states have such a big effect on so many things, including our thoughts and memories and impulses that arise in the mind, our perception, our behavior, our body. So for instance, if you look at yourself in the mirror, you might look exactly the same two different times you look at yourself in the mirror, but depending on your mind state, you might appear beautiful or ugly to yourself, depending whether you're feeling happy or irritated, perhaps. Or if you think about your future, like how your own future or your own life appears to you, can really depend on your mind state, whether you're feeling hopeful or hopeless, for instance. Like, is my life a success or is it a failure? Could really change with the mind state. Or if you look at another person, your friend or your partner, depending on your mind state, you could see their good sides or their less good sides. If you stub your toe, even that is affected by the mind state. How much it hurts is affected by your mind state, whether you're feeling contented or maybe angry. I have experiences when I have been walking down the street and if I have been feeling very irritated, I might have experienced an impulse to kick somebody walking in front of me. Fortunately, I've never actually done that, but I've certainly sometimes experienced those impulses if I'm feeling irritated. If I'm walking down the street and feeling happy, I don't usually get impulses like that. And similarly, if we are having a conversation with another person, like we might get these impulses to say something really hurtful to that other person. If we are feeling hurt, we wouldn't get those impulses if we were feeling contented. So one way to think about mind state is like they are these colored sunglasses that really color our perceptions of everything, how we view the world and others and ourselves and the situations. So that's why it's so important to be aware of mind states. Like if we are wearing yellow sunglasses and everything seems yellowish, and if we don't realize that we have sunglasses on, we would take that yellow color as kind of the objective reality and get into all kinds of trouble because of that. We didn't realize that, it was just the sunglasses doing this to me. So the key piece in practicing with mind states is just to recognize the mind state, recognize what's going on. Another key piece in this mindfulness practice of ours is that of accepting or allowing. Can we let it be there as it is, even if it feels unpleasant? And if there is aversion, their aversion is the mind state, you know, quality of the mind we are aware of. Can we let the aversion be there? In Finnish, it's vastustus or torjunta. And as we talked about yesterday evening, that non-identification piece is very helpful as well, seeing the mind state as nature, kind of impersonal energy in the mind that comes and goes. But I think this is enough talking for now, so it's time to start our guided meditation. So finding suitable meditation posture for yourself in an early morning time like this, it might be especially helpful for many people to have as good and straight posture as possible. So if you have back issues or other health issues, it's fine for you to lean back to the back of your chair. But if you don't have any specific health issues, it might be a good idea for you to not to lean to your chair, but kind of like hold yourself straight, hold your back straight yourself, kind of create more energy in the system. Feeling the body touching the ground. Feeling the hands touching. Feeling the outer surface of the body. Perhaps noticing any areas where the clothes are touching the skin. Perhaps noticing any areas where air is touching the skin. Perhaps noticing any areas where skin might be touching the skin, possibly, for instance, in the armpits or the eyelids, somewhere else. Inviting the face to relax, the forehead soften, inviting the shoulders to drop a little bit. Letting the attention fill the entire body. As well as the outer surface, feeling the interior of the body as well. Feeling the inside of the stomach area. And the inside of the chest area. Perhaps noticing the movement of the breath in the body. Noticing any other sensations that arise from the area of the body. No right or wrong sensations, just different sensations, changing sensations. Finding your anchor if you wish. Having the anchor be part of the field of experience, if it feels supportive. The anchor can be a great support if we are exploring our mind states and thoughts. Can really help us ground whenever we need grounding and calming and settling. Not to be carried away with the thoughts or the mind states too much. So returning to the anchor as much as you like. As much as feels helpful. Then becoming aware of the mind state. The weather of the mind. Perhaps naming the mind state or the emotion with a name, with a word or two or three. Could be subtle, could be really clear and obvious, or anything in between. No right or wrong answers. If the mind state or the emotion is really strong, you could let go of the anger because the strongness of those sensations might be supportive enough for mindfulness by themselves. But if you like, you could let the anger be part of your experience when exploring the mind state. So see if you can fully allow the mind state to be there just as it is, no matter whether it's pleasant or unpleasant or neutral. Can you give it the permission to actually be there as long as it likes? Kind of soften around the mind state, giving space to the mind state. Body and the mind softening around it. Possibly even welcoming it here. And then looking at the mind state a little more closely, what does it actually feel like in the mind, and are there any physical components to it? Something that you feel in the body? And whatever it is that you're feeling, does it change or stay the same? And remembering the non-identification piece too. Not to get too identified, not to get too engrossed. Keeping a broader perspective, remembering that it's just the mind state, just arising, just nature like the weather, just an impersonal energy visiting the mind. This mind state here, not me, not mine, just nature, nature happening. Finding your anchor once again, feeling the sensations of the anchor, stable and safe anchor. So you could now continue with the basic mindfulness practice of just opening to whatever arises in the experience by itself. Or you could play around with mind states, exploring that territory more if you wish. Recognizing, allowing, investigating, not identifying. And if you at any point see a thought bus to arrive to your bus stop, you could try to decide not to board that bus. Maybe just naming the bus and letting it go on its way.